This episode of Podnuts Pro is sponsored by AppRiver. If you need help selling and supporting Office 365, AppRiver can help. They've got the most experienced support team in the business. Call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and speak to someone live here in the U.S. Try them free for 30 days by visiting appriver.com/podnutspro. Welcome back to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Yes, I am coming at you live from Fort Lauderdale. Well, it's live for me, not live for you, because you'll be 24 hours late by the time you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special episode tonight. We are going to go a little bit off script from what I said we were going to be doing for the next few weeks. We are going to be having an open mic night, or maybe I should call it an open mat night. How does that sound? So I will let that be the introduction for the person joining me tonight, the person that I said we would be having special story time and WWMD sessions with. Mr. Matt Rainey is in the house. Matt, how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you.
How does it feel to be back for a full show?
Feels good. Glad to be back. Life has settled down a little bit to free up a few hours, so that's always nice.
No more shuttle service or taxi service or whatever it was.
I can hear myself talking on the other track. Oh, we still have that. In fact, I just got back from that. And normally that would continue on Wednesdays until after 9 p.m., but there's no more soccer, so that frees up one day. So my wife is taking over the nightly duties for tonight. We both pitch in, but she's going to have to take over while I'm doing the show.
Nice.
Which she will do because she knows I like to come on the show.
Give and take. That's what a marriage is.
That's right.
I'm trying to think. My wife is at home getting ready for our family weekend. The B family will be coming down for this upcoming weekend. I will have them Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. Is there a special occasion?
Do I have to say this? My nephew has a birthday next week. And normally we get together at the Queen Bee's house, my mom's house. But this year I decided to have them all come down to our place because I thought I was going to be super, super busy. I'm still busy, but just not super, super busy. But it's still more convenient for them to come down here than for me to go up there.
Yes. Well, I have some family things this weekend, but I'm going out of town.
Nice, nice, nice. So we decided that we're just going to have an open mic night, and part of it is because you haven't been on a while, and I know that you've probably got a nice little story, a good little tip. I have some stories that I haven't shared lately because I've been doing so many interviews. But first, let me ask, have you been listening to the shows?
I have, and I am completely caught up. In fact, Podnuts Pro is one of the only shows that I'm caught up with. I have a lot of other shows that I have not listened to, but I did listen to Podnuts Pro.
Oh. What'd you think?
Good. I like them. That's why I listen to them.
All right.
And that's why other ones sit in the queue waiting to be listened to.
All right. So I had asked, I had asked a couple of questions about the Datto DNA AXA router a couple of weeks ago. Did you hear that show?
I did.
You guys don't use those devices at all, do you?
We do not.
Do you have any customers where you have failover to cellular service 3G or LTE?
Yes, kind of.
Kind of.
We are testing that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work quite as advertised, and I think for anybody, mainly because outgoing will work fine. It's incoming that's an issue, right? You can have failover for outbound the internet, but what about all the services that are set to come in? That's where there's a little bit of an issue.
Well, that is true. Now, I was doing it for a customer that doesn't have any of those services, which was the reason I thought I could do it. When I tested it here at the office, it actually worked. My browsing was fine. Now, speed wasn't great. I mean, it was more like having, you know, the early DSL stages where I think I got 3 meg down and 1 up or 3, I don't know what it was, but it was sufficient for one person. And
right, one person.
I was taking it to an office with 10. But when I got it over there, if you remember, my issue was that I couldn't browse, even with the regular internet, let alone switching over to the failover, which the failover actually worked fine in my office. I would, you know, disconnect internet, and on my laptop, I could still browse. I could still do everything I wanted to. But when I got on site to this customer, couldn't do it. Couldn't browse with the internet. Couldn't browse without the internet, and only on the failover cellular service.
And that same failover service worked at your office?
Yes, it did. So
what was different?
I don't know, because the funny thing is we both have Comcastic service. So that was a thing that I couldn't really grasp my head around.
So you've got this external connection mm-hmm. that you plugged into your, you have a Datto? You have that Datto?
The Datto.
Or what do you plug in?
I swapped out and used the Datto here at my office.
Okay. It was the same Datto that was over there?
Oh, yeah. I showed the same device. I configured it here, tested it for a few days, reconfigured it as my client's access point or router, and took it over there.
Well, that's strange.
Yes, it is. And Datto boys couldn't help me out, so I'm sending it back, and I will try again another time.
Really? They didn't have any tools to see what was going on? You didn't call?
Well, we found out the same thing. I mean, I had basically already had my ping plotter software on their server because of the issues they were having. Their main issues they were having, the speed, when it was working, was fine. But every so often, they would lose their phones. Now, this is a customer that has their cabling where it's one connection at the desktop. So they had to go through the phone to their computer. So anytime their phones would lose connection and deregister or have to go out and reboot or whatever, their computers would cut off. And so we thought it was an internet issue where they would lose internet, lose the phones, and then lose the computers. So I said, well, I'll put in this failover device. That way they'll still have internet. They won't disconnect. Now, they won't have, you know, the full speed. But they were only losing connection for a couple of minutes, so we didn't think it would be that big of an issue. However, the fact that we couldn't browse meant I couldn't leave the device there anyway. But while I was there, I did figure out they weren't losing internet. Their connection was just fine. The problem is the phones were losing registration with the service. So I think what I need to do is do more support with the phone provider, who is horrible, or convince them to drop a second line at all of their computers so that their computers can be on one cable and their phones can be on another.
I like that. I don't like when they share
cable. Well, it's, you know, customer is an attorney and was a little on the, shall we say, price-sensitive side.
Yeah.
So.
Price-sensitive, budget-conscious.
Yes.
So that's similar to a story I was going to tell you whenever we get around to it with the internet problem that I had. Now, what kind of router is at that office?
The access point, the router that I have there normally
right.
is a SonicWall.
Okay. Do they only have one public IP address? Or do they have multiple IP addresses?
They have multiples, and they actually only use, well, I have them using three, but two of them are, you might want to cover your ears when I say this. Two of them are for RDP connections for the attorneys.
So I haven't used SonicWall in a long, long time. How does SonicWall deal with multiple public IPs? Do you have separate physical interfaces, or is there one physical interface going from your modem to your WAN port?
Well, there are two WAN ports, but you only use the one physical with the Comcast connection.
Right, and you can assign multiple IPs to that one interface?
Yes, and you can do multi-NAT and all that.
Okay, I'm going to go into the story right now.
Okay.
Because this is, I think, exactly the same
thing.
Let's
go right ahead.
You're dealing with
story time.
Client calls, they're losing connection for a little bit at a time.
Right.
I start the ping test, and I see them dropping. You know, they might get 1% drop packets, but they're dropping. And their symptoms were, she said, I can go to, let's just say, her bank website, whatever it is, chase.com. I can go to it. I can refresh it. Once in a while, when I refresh it, it says page cannot be displayed. So it'll be any site, Fox News, whatever the site is. She can go to it, but the third or fourth time she tries to go to it, page cannot be displayed. She goes back to it, it'll load. So my question was, is this just happening on your computer or everyone's computer? And of course, you know what she said, just my computer.
Right.
And my response, of course, is, so you've tested this on every computer and you can verify the issue's not happening? And she said, well, no, but nobody's reporting it. Okay, so that's not the same thing. Let's test other computers. So we go to other computers. Every computer is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, of course, shocked by this. Why would they not report this? I say, well, I don't know why. Maybe their tolerance for websites not loading is higher than yours.
Or maybe they thought they were blocked and didn't want to say that they were trying to go to a site they shouldn't.
But you can go to it most of the time. So now that we've established and I've shown her that it's not just her computer, that it's everyone, now it's time to move on, because I told her it's completely different troubleshooting if it's happening to one computer or everyone. And she thinks it's the same troubleshooting, but it's not. We all know that. So to me, it sounds like a routing issue. I'm thinking, cause the WatchGuard is not blocking anything. And let me tell you what I did the test. They are going through a proxy, an HTTP proxy.
Okay.
It's doing filtering, right? So I create a new policy. It's just a packet filter. Okay. So can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
So what did we hear?
They go through a proxy and you created a second policy.
Right. So I created a second policy that was specific to her IP address. I'm just going to test with hers. A packet filter from her IP address out to the internet, just let it go. Don't filter anything. Still happened. So it's not the proxy filter.
Right.
Nothing being blocked. Which I verified before I did it. You know, all the logging, there was nothing being blocked. But just to make sure, it's not the policy, packet filter, nothing blocked. And I told her, to me, it sounds like a routing issue. Have you called your ISP to report the issue? And of course, she said she did, and they said everything looks fine. They can see up to the router from their side. Okay, fine. So we go out there. I, you know, old faithful test, have a notebook, connect it right to the modem, program the notebook with the public IP information.
Right.
Get online. It doesn't happen at all. No issue. Now, you would think that I would think it's the WatchGuard at this point, right?
Or Did you happen to try different DNS servers?
Tried different DNS, but even pings would drop.
Okay.
Before. Even before, when it's happening, if you just run a constant ping, it drops. And websites don't resolve. And yes, before we changed, before I put the notebook in place, I did put public DNS just to test. Right. I tried A.A.A. You know, the Google ones, and I tried OpenDNS. And I tried the, which I never use, the ISP's DNS servers.
Ooh.
So same issue with all of them. So it's not DNS. So then I put the notebook in, put the public IP in the notebook's network config, no issue. So I know what you're thinking. It's got to be the router.
Got to be.
Okay. This is where I differ. I have a WatchGuard in. It's not the router.
It's not the red box.
Not the red box. So now I call what we call this is Cox Internet. I'm not sure it's specific, but it might be later on. We called Cox, and I said, I am dropping. Here's what I've done. Here's what's happening. I think it's Cox service is the issue. I said, I need you to look at it. So they get in, and I finally get somebody to look at it. And I'm just going to say, they have two IPs. One ends in, let's say, 216, and one's 217.
Okay.
Okay, the router is... external interface is set to 216. That's what I set the notebook to as well. And they said, no, everything looks fine. I can see all traffic going through to 217, no problem. I said, what? No, we're not using 217. We're using 216. And he says, no, I don't see any traffic on 216. I see everything going to 217. So I go look in the external config, and we have a WatchGuard has secondary networks, what they call them. You can put the secondary networks in there. 217 is a secondary network
that somebody set up,
but there were no policies using it. I checked all the policies. No one is using that. Nothing is using 217. So I'm watching the logs. And I see once in a while, search the logs for that IP address for the 217.
Right.
Once in a while, I see a packet hitting 217. And of course, it's denied because there's no policy to allow traffic on 217. So I remove it. I remove 217 from the secondary network. We're not using it. I tell them, look, flush the ARP cache on the Cox modem. Problem solved. Hasn't happened again. It's been weeks now, 2 weeks, hasn't happened. This happens at someone else's network. They're dropping packets. This is Cox again. I called Cox. This client has four IPs. One primary, three set up on secondary networks. I said, tell me what's in the ARP cache. What do you see? And they said, well, I see that this secondary network. Oh, he asked me, are you changing your IP in the router? I said, no, I'm not changing my IP in the router. Why would I change my IP in the router? This has been set this way for years. He said, well, it's at first I was showing 54. Now I'm saying 55. And I see it was 57. Yeah, those are all my IPs. We have all those IPs. Here's what's happening. I think when a packet comes through, with a secondary network IP, Cox is taking that MAC address, because it's the same MAC address,
right.
It's one interface.
Yep.
Cox is taking that MAC address and tying it to the IP, and it thinks that now that is my IP. So if traffic came in on 57 and is a secondary network, anything that comes in on 54 doesn't know where to go, because 54 was using this MAC address, but not 57 is. So this must not be valid.
You think they're doing that on their edge router
Cox
or
changed,
something?
I think Cox changed something, because this has been in here for years at both clients for years. So Cox is taking, they have apparently have a problem with one MAC address and multiple IPs, which maybe you may be having, because if you got multiple IPs and one MAC address, that's two networks in a week that had that problem. And I don't know how often it's happening because some clients may not be reporting it.
Well, that is interesting, but I'll be honest with you, that wouldn't translate for me because here in my office, I actually have 5 IPs that we're using, similar type of setup with the Sonic wall here. I will have to check on the DNA. I already have it packaged, ready to go back with the label, so I can't pull it out and check.
Here's another coincidence between these two clients. Both of these clients reported issues to Cox in the past for something else, and both of them had their modems changed out recently.
Ah, now there you go. What type of modem?
That. That's what I need to check. I need to go back and check and see what that modem is at both offices.
So,
because those new modems may be having a problem with that.
I bet you, because you know what? That was an issue down here when we were using the old, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't, right now they're using Netgear and SMC. I think they were using 2-wire or something along that, something in that vein.
Yeah, I'm going to check on that because I just realized that they both had modems changed recently.
And what probably happened is the techs that came out to set them up didn't know how to do their proper pass-through.
And these are just modems only. These aren't. Neither one of these you have to put in bridge mode. These are just modems.
Oh, just flat straight modems.
Right. Hmm. So I'm wondering if something with this modem has a problem translating when it gets a packet for this IP. Something with their ARP cache. Something with their ARP table is messing up, because once you clear the ARP cache and remove the network that you're not using, it doesn't happen again.
But you still have to figure out how the secondary got on there if you didn't configure it.
Well, I'm sure one of the other guys did. One of the other guys probably said, oh, they have these IPs, let's just put them in there in case we want them later.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't put them in there. Well, one client, strange enough, the one client that was using the other IPs, the one that Cox showed was the primary IP, was the one IP they were not using. So we removed on that client, they had 4 IPs. We removed the one they weren't using. Hasn't happened since. The other client had 2, weren't using one. We removed 1, hasn't happened since.
Right.
It's almost like when a packet goes to it and it gets denied, I think that's what's causing the problem.
And you said you were watching the logs for incoming traffic to that secondary IP.
Right.
So something was hitting that.
Something was hitting it. And I think at that point, it's just whatever causes the freak out and it won't go back to the other ones. That's all I can think of, is because both places, it was the IPs that they weren't using that we had to remove, and it's worked fine. Yeah. After we removed them, tell Cox to clear the ARP cache, and then it's worked fine.
Very interesting.
So, multiple IPs, definitely on Cox, possibly on your Comcast, it may be an issue.
I'll go back and check that with, again, never had that issue with the Sonic walls, but with the Datto DNA, that might be something to look at.
Yeah.
Now, I've also tested an Arachnus model. You can tell I'm in a testing mode right now. And that thing has been fine. Now, it's not doing all of the services as the Sonic wall, so I'm not too keen on using it for most of my clients. It's going to have to be for smaller clients that don't need all the services like the content filtering, the application monitoring, and that sort of stuff.
So, and come on, everybody needs those. Everyone.
Well,
with today's threats, we should be selling that stuff to everybody.
We should. Hey, you know what? I won't bring it up because we'll go down a rabbit hole.
We don't want to do that on the first show back.
Right.
We can save these rabbit holes.
Yeah. So let's do this. Let's pause real quick. We had a little technical glitch earlier, so I want to have us take a quick break for station identification and make sure we can clean those areas up. So Matt, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stop recording so we can clean that up. And folks, we'll be right back after these messages. The most successful business owners I know are people who enjoy what they're doing. Whatever their thing is, they love it. And here's what they don't love: when they have to stop doing what makes them money to handle something that doesn't. That's especially true when it comes to email, and that's one reason why AppRiver shines. AppRiver keeps your inbox free from spam and viruses, so you don't have to worry about all that junk cluttering up your day. If you're running your own email servers, protect them with AppRiver. And if you're tired of that headache, just sign up for Hosted Exchange or Office 365 and get your mail from the cloud. Here's the best part. Call AppRiver anytime, night or day, and you'll talk to a real, live, U.S.-based company employee. Someone who's trained to take care of your business and let you get back to doing what you love. Visit appriver.com/podnutspro today and try any of their services free for 30 days. That's appriver.com/podnutspro. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The joys of not recording together in a while had a little bit of a technical glitch. We've got that figured out now. And we are back on with the show. So, Matt, we had just finished up with two similar stories with firewall UTMs. And I think I want to ask you a quick question about a referral that I got last week. So, cool. I'm happy that I got the referral. It was from a customer who first of all, I never thought that they would be my customer because the attorney liked to tinker himself and fancied himself a network administrator. But yet, the wife explained to me that he was always breaking stuff and he was spending too much time fixing the network instead of doing his job. So that was one of the reasons that I got called over there. But even when I got them as a I'm going to put these air quote managed service client. I've had them now maybe 3 years, thought I would never, ever get much more out of them. They just referred me to a customer that is in their plaza who had gone through two other companies in the last year where they could not understand how come the texts that kept coming out couldn't figure out their network. And they came across my attorney and he said, I got the guy for you. I love being called the guy.
And he wasn't talking about himself, I guess.
No, he wasn't. So I go out and basically all they wanted me to do was connect their new computer to their existing network. So as I'm driving over there, I'm thinking to myself, what was making this so difficult that somebody couldn't just add a workstation to the network? So in my head, I'm going through the usual suspects, and I'm sure you in your head are going through some of those right now as well. So, you know, what were the things that you would think of?
I would think the network is set up in a non-standard way. Probably not even a real server.
Okay.
Probably if it is a server, Active Directory's wonky DNS issues.
Okay. I'm going to give you a point for each of those. So the first thing I see when I get on site is I walk in and I'm looking at, you know, the network. I'm in the client's place because they make me sit, you know, and wait for a little bit. And I'm looking at all the workstations out, and of course, they're all different types of computers, all different types of monitors. Not a real big deal. We've all seen that before. So the girl comes out to talk to me, and she's not the owner. She's not the manager. She's just the one person in the office who happens to know the most about computers. Takes me over to the desktop. It's Windows 10 Home.
Home. Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say.
So I said, okay, I need to look at the rest of your network so that, you know, we can see what it is. And so I go in, and I'll just tell you, the server, again, quotation marks, is in a closet. And in the closet is a HP Pavilion with,
nice.
With Windows 2008 Server R2 installed on it, not in a domain configuration.
Of course not. They don't know how to do that. They just think it's just like any other Windows.
Yeah, everything is just in a work group. And the people had come out. Now, most of their stations were, they had one Windows XP. Most of them were Windows 7. They have a Windows 8.1. And the two computers that the other techs had brought in were Windows 10 Professional. So they were obviously trying. But it's...
not realizing that... with no Active Directory, there's no benefit between Pro and Home.
Right. But they said it would take them all day to get these computers configured on the network. And I said, okay, well, let me take a quick look and see what it is. And so I plugged in my stuff, looked at a few things. I called the software company and asked them about how they set up this one, because they had one software that they needed. And I said, so, you know, the server is here, but it's not set up in a domain. He goes, oh, yeah, we see that all the time.
I would say to him, can you refer me to those people where you see that all the time? Because I could help them.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, it took me probably about half an hour to just simply, you know, configure it for the work group, map the drive, install the software, and they were amazed. And they were like, can we use you from now on?
Yeah, yes, but we need to have some discussions about this setup. So let me ask you this. In a workgroup configuration such as this, how do you map the drives?
Well, for them, all I did was connect to the server shares and, here's what we had to do. So when we went to go map the drives, first we got it, you know, had to put it in workgroup mode, which on Windows 10 Home isn't really that easy because it wants to connect to its own home group.
Right. They like the home group.
Right. So I had to work around that. But then once I did that, I, you know, went to the server shares server. And, you know, went to go simply map the drives and used the administrator credentials from the server. Even though they had a different login, I just used those and saved the credentials. And that's apparently what they had been doing for the last 2 years or 3 years or however long they have that.
Okay. So they're just saved under connect with other credentials and correct. Just saved right there. So right. If that gets lost, they're going to call you, right?
Yes.
So they have user accounts created on the server?
No, they have no.
Did you always give a little chuckle when you said server when you're talking to them?
Basically what I said, so normally we wouldn't work in this type of environment. But since you were referred to me, I'm going to see what I can do to help you out.
Yeah. And like, what's wrong with it? Well, where do I begin? Yes.
So that wasn't the only thing. The other thing, so of course they had a list. I didn't realize they had a whole list.
Oh, they got somebody coming. They're going to make a list. And so, that's what probably scared off the other techs.
Yes.
And that might have, we always get half the story, right? Or 1/4 of the story. Mm-hmm. Maybe they say it would take all day to go through this list. I don't know.
I don't know either. But of course, one of the things on the list was our network is slow. And we just got the fastest internet speed we could get.
Okay. Huh?
And I said, okay, well, let me take a look at. So I went back to the closet and not to name names, but I have to name it just so that you can understand. There was a TP-Link 10100 switch.
That goes good with the pavilion.
Yes. And there was a Linksys WRT something wireless router that they were using.
Yeah, the WRT54G or 54, something.
Something like that. And I just looked at them and said, so all I can tell you is that none of the stuff that you have in this closet is business class worthy. And they said, oh. Yeah.
I could say this stuff is state of the art 20 years ago.
So they said, well, the other thing we want you to do is to update our software. And I said, so the one I just installed on this workstation, she said, yeah, but you know, we have an update that we haven't done, or, you know, because nobody could do it. I said, well, let's do this. I came out today to get your emergency of the workstation on the network. Let me go back and look at some other stuff. And since I've got everything working, why don't you call the company and ask them, first of all, what needs to be done? Give me a list and I'll put together a proposal for you and all that. So wouldn't you know it, 2 days later, they call back. We called the company and asked them about the update. And so they logged on because they said that they could do it and we didn't need our IT guy. But when they started to do the update, they told us that our server's too old and can't do the update.
Nice. So yeah, normally when clients like this want an update, the first thing I tell them to do is to call the company or let's find the documentation on what the recommended hardware and software specs are.
Yep.
Especially knowing that it's an old server and that I'm looking for any excuse other than my own opinion of why they should change it out.
Yep. So I didn't have to do any of that. The vendor did it for me. So now they sent me over all the network information today to give them a quote for a new server. And they actually made an entire list of all their workstations because they figured that some of the workstations are a few years old and they may want to upgrade those as well.
Yes. So are you going to put them on a real domain?
I don't know.
How many users?
It's 9 workstations and a laptop.
Yeah, I would do a domain.
Well, of course I would. Is that a question?
I mean, some people might think that it's possible to do it without a domain. It's possible, but I would do it.
Well, I need to look at the software more. Usually in this type of scenario, since you know, they're doing more than sharing documents and pictures and stuff. They're actually running this the software from a server device. So once you get into those types of things, I always, even if it's just, you know, a low-end server, I want it to be a server.
Did you ask about backup? Are they backing up?
They're not backing up. Come on, really?
Did you ask them and then did they realize that they're not backing up this ancient, probably single 5200 RPM drive?
Well,
on the
server. I mean, you know, there's always more to the story. So I got the more to the story. So the more to the story was they don't have a backup and they were told they had a backup, but they don't.
They were told they did. Yes. Now I would say, who told you this?
That they're one of their previous techs.
Oh, nice.
And the reason that they actually had this tech, I don't want to say booted. That's not the right word. The reason they did not want to ask them back is because it took them 2 days to configure their new fast Comcast internet.
Huh. Could some of that be attributed to problems with the ISP? But two days?
No, it's funny because the ISP is the one that had to tell the tech to go to the store and get this particular, it's not the WRT54G. It's a newer one because they went and got it. The box was still there. I just didn't take a picture, or did I? So it's a newer, but it's still of the same vein because the ISP is the one that told them to do it and go on. And they must have helped them configure it because when I asked them, well, do you have the password that we can go in and look at the configuration and all that? No, nobody has the password.
That's one way to secure it. So imagine this. Imagine that they're trying to hook in the server the, you know, make do ISP share, internet sharing from the server. You think they were trying to do that and didn't even actually have a router?
I don't know, because, you know, the first thing I asked when I saw it was, are you guys using the wireless in this? And they're like, no. So, of course, my first question is, why in the world would you get a wireless router if you don't need it? But
that's all that
who am local, I?
Local depots are going to sell is wireless routers.
Right.
Now, do they have passwords on their computers?
They actually did, yes.
Okay.
They have passwords. Oh, here's that. I'm looking through the pictures, by the way. Too bad I can't put them up here. So they, one of the questions that they were really, really concerned about is that they had two on-hold music boxes and they just didn't think they needed two. And if I could take one down.
Well, I got to see where their priorities are.
Yep.
This is actually a client I like to get because it's humorous, but they don't even know. You'll look like such a hero with the new server and everything's going to run smooth and fast. And they're like, once it, this is the kind of client that once they're set up, mm-hmm. they shouldn't have to call you anymore.
Right. Oh, here's what I really loved about them. I wish I could show you, but they have pink cables.
Oh, that's just nice. I've never seen a pink network cable before.
They've got pink cables. They've got blue on top for their phones and pink.
Oh, there's some boy and there's some girl.
Yes.
That's nice.
So I was quite happy to see that the techs were color coordinating their
network cables.
Yep.
Those are specific use cases, and I don't think that you're qualified to run that. Now, is this a newer office? Do you think their cabling is any good, or do you think their cabling could be an issue?
I think there will be some cabling issues. They did have a patch panel. Well, let me rephrase that. They had a surface mount box for six cables, and then they have the newer cables that are just running down the corner of the closet.
Right, the additions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody added onto a house and just tried to do it themselves, and it's just...
Yeah, just hanging down.
So, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of... I tell them, we need to certify all the cables. We need to...
Yep.
Yeah, I actually really like these jobs.
It'll be fine because, you know, we'll go in, do everything. You know, yes, we'll probably... do a little bit more than we should to go in and make sure everything is working, have the cables, you know, some of the cables at least redone. Or what I would really like to do is put in a brand new patch panel. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't know if we'll be able to use all the existing cable, but I mean, we'll try to use it.
I put a new patch panels, patch cables. I'd probably take the pink ones with me just in case I want to use a pink one somewhere. Yeah, they need to be totally redone. And what about email? This leads to all kind of questions. What are they doing for email?
I don't know.
You got to do this. This is a whole new discovery process.
This is me. I'm going to basically, my next trip will be a first contact meeting. And I will, you know, come out with my version of the IT forms.
Yeah, the informed IT.
Informed IT packet.
Yes.
And go through all their stuff.
And they will be amazed. But sometimes when I bring these forms out, and if you're curious what forms, informedit.net, I bring these forms out and I'm going through them with customers. They have no idea what they don't know. And they are shocked that they don't know. And they have no control over this stuff.
Absolutely. I had to argue with one of my medical offices the other day. So we spent 2 years ago switching them from one website provider to another because in the medical offices, they have those companies that will provide all their services for them for their marketing, their SEO, and, you know, they'll refer leads to them. And we found that they had I think it was 22 web domains. And they were split between Network Solutions and GoDaddy and some other company where they, you know, they were having all of their domains hosted, registered at all these different places.
And different people are contacts
yes,
and everything.
Yes, absolutely. And so I spent a good month working with them to get all of that consolidated and switched over to where we had all of the domains under one domain registrar. They still wanted to have another company come in and be their guru and host everything. And I convinced them, no, we want to keep control of the DNS control panel.
Right.
Because they were going to give this to this client. And
right. And there's no reason. I hate that. And I like to keep control of the domain name so I can make sure the name servers are correct.
Yep.
And I control the name servers.
So I went through and did that with them. And, you know, all we did was point the A records and create a couple of C names for their sub, you know, stuff. And everything was fine. Well, the doctor thought he was spending too much money and not getting a return. So I can't remember the date, but let's just say they called me probably February 12th to say that they're switching providers and it has to be done by March 1st.
Switching providers for all the web hosting?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, everything. They're switching everything over to this other provider. And I had to say, first of all, who are they? What are you switching? And what about all the stuff we set up 2 years ago? Oh, we didn't think about that. So we had to have a whole nother discussion with getting their company on the phone because not only were they switching their web hosting, they wanted to switch their Office 365 mail and have this company hosted because they provided email for free and then you only had to pay for their secure mail.
Really?
Huh. But guess what I found out?
There, sure, it wasn't as advertised.
Of course not. Because in order to do secure mail, they had the primary domain that you use for regular email. And then you had to add a secure.domain as a secondary secure mail domain. And I said, so you're going to have two mail host? And they were like, well, what does that mean? Why? I'm like, why do you have to have two domains, one for regular and one for secure? Why can't you run a secure service on top of or in conjunction with their existing mail?
Right. Then did they have a good answer for that?
No, they didn't. I finally got them to admit that, well, we've only been doing this for about a year. And that's when I turned to the doctor and said, you are not letting them have control of anything. I don't care how good they are, who came and recommended them. We will point A records to them so that, you know, they can do your site and content and all that, but they are not taking away any control from the registrar or the DNS control panel.
Yeah, I've seen that screwed up so many times. Website developers and designers, they do not understand DNS. They screwed it up countless times.
Yep.
I get called. Email's not working. Well, what happened? Where's all the DNS records? Who took control of the name servers? Oh, we gave them control and they changed a few things. Yeah, tell them to put it back. Well, they don't know how it was. I said, well, they better figure it out.
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, I know what it was, but I make them sweat for a little while.
Yeah. So,
that's going to be a fun client.
It will. I like it.
As long as they want to spend a little money, it won't be fun.
It was their suggestion to, you know, let's replace everything. I'm like, I'll do that for you.
So you mentioned Office 365.
Yep. I like it.
So let me ask you if this is a common request for people, for your people, I guess for anybody really, not just 365. But that's where I'm seeing the most of the requests from. You got a client who wants to share address book.
Yes.
Contacts.
Mm-hmm.
but they want to do it on their phones.
Mm-mm. I just say no.
They don't want to? No, they do.
They may want to. I say no.
Okay. So you can say yes.
I could.
So,
but I have a feeling that you're going to kind of help me solidify my point.
No, I'm going the other way.
Oh, okay.
A client wanted to do this, and I found out how to do it for them.
You go.
Okay. So there's two. Well, there's one way you can do it with public folders.
Mm-hmm.
Because Outlook for iOS. Now, this client all had Apple devices, so let me preface with that. They want to share contacts between everybody. Public folders you can use in Outlook for iOS.
Correct.
You can actually look at public folders. The tech that they had, I don't do the tech work for this company, but I know I'm good friends with somebody who works there, and I've known him for 30 years. So he knows I do tech work. He's not a decision maker there, so they don't use us, but he called me and said, here's what we're trying to do. This tech is telling us we have to switch to Outlook for iOS to share contacts. And I said, no, you don't. You can use, I knew we had, and in this case, actually, he had Intermedia,
okay,
hosted Exchange. And they have 17 people in the office. I said, what you can do is you can tell your guy to get you a new mailbox from Intermedia. Import all of your contacts into that mailbox. Set that account up on the phones and just turn on contacts. That way you have your account set up for your mail, but you have a second account set up just for contacts and you can see them all. But the limit is 10. Default limit for ActiveSync devices is 10, right? We know that. Everybody knows that.
Yes.
Mostly. Unless you're with like SureWeb. SureWeb limit is 3. Can you believe that? 3.
Really?
Yes. 3.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. That's annoying. So there is a way. That the default is just 10. That's not a hard limit. That's just the default. You can make that whatever you want. You can make it 3 if you want to be like SureWeb.
Yeah.
You can make whatever you want. Now, he used Intermedia. I'm an Intermedia partner. I got with my Intermedia person, and I said, look, I have a client interested in upping the ActiveSync device connection limit. Can you do it? I said, and before you say no, I emailed, here is the Exchange Management shell command to run to do it. Because Intermedia does not make that available to you.
Okay, but let me stop. Because I don't use Intermedia at all. I don't have a customer with Intermedia. I either will go straight through the Microsoft portal for Office 365 or AppRiver, which you can use AppRiver to set up all the accounts and do all of the stuff, but you still do the management from the Microsoft portal. So my question is, does Intermedia not use the portal for all of that stuff?
They do not.
Okay.
They do not. They have their own custom interface. So if you can get to the Exchange Management Shell, most ways, I know through Office 365, you can do it yourself. But if you want to put in the show note, I can give you the command.
All right.
It's a simple command to increase the ActiveSync connection limit. In this case, Intermedia said, well, we can do it, but it could affect performance. So I understand that. They're not sending mail through it. It's just contacts. So I said, okay, the most we can do is 20. So that's fine. 20 is good. They only need 17. Put it at 20. So in this case, I got to my friend. I said, tell your guy to get with his Intermedia account rep and give them this command. And have them run this command. They will charge, Intermedia charge, like $200 to run the command, which is ridiculous because it's literally one sentence that you could type in. But of course, the tech guy over there doesn't like a guy in the office telling him that this is possible. because he told them it was not possible. I gave my buddy specific syntax and instructions, and he didn't like that. I said, well, did he do it? I asked my friend, did he do it? He says, oh, yeah, he did it, and it works perfect, but he's mad about it.
Why is he mad?
Because he was proven wrong in front of the eyes of the people who are decision makers.
Oh, one of those kind of texts.
Yeah. So now the decision makers are like, well, wait, who's your friend? So he said, you know, he's got his company. He does this, you know. So now, you know, it's possible he may lose a client because he was wrong. He said it was not possible. He was trying to force them to use Outlook for iOS, and they flat out told him, we are not using Outlook for iOS. This is not an option. We don't want that. Find another way. And he said, no, it's not possible.
Wow.
It's possible. Now, this is if you have your own in-house Exchange server, which we have quite a few out there, it's easy, right? You can run the command yourself.
Oh, yeah, right on the server. I mean, it's been a while, but I've done that.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to do that, and of course it will affect performance, but if you're just using it for contacts, it's not that much going back and forth for contacts, right? Once the contacts are synced, it's not a lot going on, right? You're not adding 500 contacts a day.
Right.
So it's not the end of the world, but it is possible. And I know that I've heard other people mention that they do it this way, but I've heard people say they only do it for small offices because the count is 10, but that count is not set in stone, just so you know.
That's fine. It's funny because I've actually never thought of the one time that I did go above 10 was only because one attorney who needed to have devices because, I don't know, he had like two iPhones, two tablets, and, you know, had a workstation at, it was one of these weird little things where he was all over the place.
And those were actually all his devices?
Yes.
Well, see, yeah, he could.
But it was only temporary. I only did it for a little while. And then once I think he needed to have multiple devices for stuff. And then he, you know, consolidated devices. And then I could just switch it back to the default. But usually the only time I've run across that, you know, 10 device limit is when you don't clean up.
Right.
You know, if somebody gets, you know, an iPhone every year and you don't take off their old one.
Yeah. And you can do this. There's a command to increase the count for only one account if you want. You don't have to create it. You don't have to increase the count for everyone.
I wonder if that's what I did. That sounds more like what I did.
Yeah. Because you can set those properties. What you do is you create a new throttling policy. I like the word throttle. You create a new throttling policy.
You just can't say it.
I like the sound of it, right? Yeah, you create a new policy and you can assign to everyone or just one mailbox. So in this case, I gave them the syntax to apply to the one new mailbox so other people don't abuse it.
Right.
Because they will forget, right? And we get the call once in a while. I can't set up mail on my phone. And you go into OWA and they have 10.
Yep.
Or if you have SureWeb, they have 3.
Wow, SureWeb. I may have to ask my good friend Mike Smith about that. Because, you know, he's a big SureWeb guy.
Yeah. It's, let me make sure I'm telling you the right place.
Oh,
yeah, SureWeb. Yes. SureWeb. It's 3.
Okay. I was going to say, let's not be blasting them.
Yeah. It's 3. How you like that? I mean, when I first saw that, there's other things about SureWeb that I'm not a fan of. I never had a problem with the service. I mean, it works, right? I never had any kind of reliability issues.
Right.
It's just policies like that. And they have other policies that I find are strange, too. Something to do with mail forward. And if you want to have a mail forward, you got to pay 40 cents a month or something.
What?
Yeah. If you want to do redirection, or there's some, they charge you for everything. And I'm trying to find where it is. I'm in the panel right now. There was something a client wanted to forward mail, or they wanted to redirect mail. I think it was redirect, and you had to pay extra for it.
Wow.
I was like, what?
I've had AppRiver even set up a dummy domain because I had a client that, get this, were still using, well, finally they're off, but at the time they were still using Bell South email accounts.
Oh.
But they had to have secure mail. And obviously, you know, if you're doing Office 365 or something, you should have, you know, your own domain with that. But I needed to be able to keep them on the Bell South. So there's a way that AppRiver, and they didn't charge us extra to do it. They didn't charge us, you know, configuration. You know, they certainly didn't charge me $200 to run a script. But they set up a dummy domain. I had these, law firm use, you know, their Bell South mail as an Office 365 account to do their secure mail.
Interesting. So I just found it. Okay. Email /redirection, 90 cents a month.
Per redirection?
Yeah. Per redirection. So a user on SureWeb said, hey, I need to redirect mail. I tried to do it. Couldn't do it. Called them. Oh, you have to add the email forward redirection offer, because they call everything offers, into your account, and then it will let you. I'm like, what? 90 cents? I said, I can't pass that cost on to my customer. I told my customer so much per mailbox. I'm not going to nickel and say, I lose 90 cents a month because they want to redirect mail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I have a customer that I have now twice. You know how you can do the reports in Office 365 now where you can show them the email usage?
Uh-huh.
And I have a customer that has, they only have about 50 people working for them, but they have 80 email boxes that they don't want me to delete. And I have literally gone in to the reports and showed them that there is no mail coming in or going out of these mailboxes for 180 days. Do you really want to be spending $5 a month for these mailboxes? And every time I send the reports, I never get a response back.
So this is Office 365?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you could just convert that to a shared mailbox and get rid of the license and just forward that somewhere else.
Well, I don't need to forward it. No, they're not using it.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, actually, if they just want to save the mail, just make it a shared mailbox and get rid of the license. So I'm in ShareWeb. Total devices by default is 3. And I see a note. Please contact us to increase your device limit to 5. So they'll increase to 5, but it seems like that might be
an extra charge.
It doesn't say they're going to charge, but it does say that it looks like I can increase it to 5. From a default of 3, which still 5 seems a little low because I don't have excessive devices, and I have 3. So if I forget to delete one and add another one, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, but you're not on SureWeb.
I'm not on SureWeb. But we do sell it to a few customers. Again, I had no problem with the service. It's just some of the peculiar choices and billing that I find doesn't seem to be standard across other providers.
Right. That seems a little repressive.
Now, I'll say when I've called them for support, their support seems responsive. But like when I called to figure out why I couldn't forward mail, I got it resolved quickly. It's just, The resolution was I had to pay 90 cents a month.
Wow. Oh, I have 6 devices. That's not right. Just checking my mobile devices.
Last synced in 2015 or 2014 or something.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, guess I'll be deleting that right now. All right. All right, sir. So, boy, did we digress.
Open mic night.
Open mic night. Yes, it is. This is what happened when you don't prep.
That's better off the cuff, right?
Yes. So was that your tip of the night? Is to be able to raised the limit of your mobile devices in your Office 365?
Sure. We'll go with that.
Just want to make sure we're providing, you know, good quality content. We've had story time with Matt and our Podnuts Pro tip of the month.
With the but you know, of all the podcasts I've ever listened to, I've never heard one person talk about how to raise the ActiveSync device connection limit like you've just heard here.
Well, of course.
This is new stuff here.
This is cutting edge discussions here. We may not talk about the latest in the news, but
I guarantee you somebody there's like, oh man, I wish I heard about that 2 months ago.
That's true. That is true. All right. So, you know, I was just going through Google to see if we could find any more news on our MSP guy that that was supposed to be going to court.
Oh yeah, that's probably buried now. You think still find out about that?
I don't know. That's and I don't know why. I only thought about it, you know, because of you. But I
that's I don't know how to take that. But
because it's not like I'm thinking about this guy any other time, and I don't even remember what his name is. I have to go to my Podnuts Pro folder because, you know, I'm keeping notes for all the shows for posterity.
That's always nice. Hey, you know, off the subject, last year I waited to get my ticket to the conference in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you, I long ago bought my ticket, booked my room. So I'm looking forward to go to Chicago in August.
The IT Owners Compass meeting, August 24th through 26th in Chicago.
Yep, I jumped on board. I tried to get the early tickets that mm-hmm. had reserved seating.
Yes, the VIP seating.
Yeah, I literally waited like a day and then bought my tickets. And then Lori said, "Oh, sorry, you missed out on that." Like, are you kidding me?
I have no comment.
You're not going to be in the crowd, right? You're going to be presenting again, or doing something?
No, actually, my role this year is going to be slightly diminished.
Are you emceeing?
I don't think so.
Or is that going to be passed to like Jeff Hallish? Or some other
Jeff. Jeff
person?
And I both. Let's put it this way: Have you been to the website lately?
Yes.
So itocompass.com. If you go to the website, you will see that prominently displayed is our keynote speaker. And there is now a plethora of speakers, sponsors, subject matter experts. And then down further on the page, you will find me and Jeff and Mike.
I'm scrolling.
I don't know. We're not even on the first page anymore. Where are we? Speakers.
Let's see. I'm going to roll my wheel once, twice, three, four, five. Oh, the fifth little scroll mouse down.
We are part of the peer facilitators group.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. Again, I bought my ticket, I thought early, but not early enough.
No, I think she had a list already.
So this, I was never going to get my pre-assigned seat.
I can't say that.
That's what I'm hearing.
I just think that, you know, there's a large Chicago contingency that will be at the, ITO Compass this year. So I think that there was a, you know, because, you know, down here in Florida, I'm not getting, you know, all the news right away.
But you're a peer facilitator. You're going to have preferred seating.
No, I'm not.
I know you have to say that probably.
No,
okay.
I'm not. no, I think I'm doing one session this year. And part of it is because I did I did make a comment in passing to someone that my participation in the first two unconventions was a lot, and that I did want to be more of a participant. And so that was taken to heart, and so I have now become more of a participant.
I'm guessing your presentation will be flukish?
No, it will be flukeless.
Really?
Yes. I'm working on a title right now. And if we do this, because here's the thing. We have so many sponsors and speakers and subject matter experts, they may not even need my session. There's a lot going on. I don't know if you know this, but you know, when the comments were taken from the first two unconventions about, you know, bringing in other guest speakers, bringing in other people, you know, that we don't see on a regular basis. People, well, they don't see me, but they hear me. So we have a ton of people coming in. So I may not even need to present this year.
Well, if you don't, then we'll just go over what you were going to present on one of our fine PodNuts Pro episodes.
We can do that. But my working title is Networking Without a Fluke.
Oh, I like it.
Or Networking Is Not a Fluke.
Oh, I like that one too.
So that's what I'm toying with. We don't have another planning meeting for another week, so I'll find out where we are at that point. But more people have been added to the site. So again, a lot of participation this year. We're going to, I think we're close to selling out. And if you haven't gotten your hotel room, you better do that too, because that may be gone as well.
Yeah, I had heard that there were a certain number of rooms and that number was less than the total number of tickets.
Yes.
So,
yes, you might have to be doubling up in a king size bed.
Well, I won't, because I already have a room, but some people listening might.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love Chicago. I haven't been to Chicago since the, was it CompTIA?
CompTIA in 2015.
Yeah.
I've been to Chicago every year. I was there last, let's see, I was there last March for the ABA Tech Show.
That's right. Now, there also is going to be a boat ride.
Yes, there is.
Have you ever been on one of those architectural river cruises?
I have not.
I have. And they are really cool. I'm looking forward to going on one again.
Nice. I'm planning on it, but I also have friends in the area that I need to meet up with that I hope I don't miss the boat ride. I hope they can meet me after the boat ride, but.
Yeah, you need to meet them like Sunday night or.
I may have to fly home Sunday night.
You don't have to fly home.
I said I may.
Monday night.
I said I may have to fly home Sunday night.
Yeah, just fly home Monday night.
I haven't
meet with them
out
all day on Monday.
I got to figure out how early I have to fly in Friday. You know,
as early as possible.
I am part of the planning committee, so I do need to, you know, be available to help out with stuff, setups, run interference for Tsunami, and, you know, lessen her load for that weekend.
I think I'm getting in around noon, the flights I looked at, because I have to go get deep dish pizza at some point.
Deep, deep, deep dish. Hey, are we going to go to that hot dog place?
Man, I would love to. You're talking about devil dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a walk. I mean, I would walk that anytime. From where we're going to be staying, it's only about 6 or 7 blocks.
Right. We walked farther than that to go to that bar that one time.
Yeah. Yo, I'll go. I'm all for devil dogs. Right. I love devil dogs. In fact, beautiful. I bought a devil dog shirt last time I was there, and now it's too big, so I need a new one.
Oh my. All right. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, the ITOcompass.com, the IT Owners Compass meeting in Chicago. If you have not gotten your tickets, you know what? I'm going to tell you, stop the recording, go get the ticket, and then come back and finish up the show with us, because you don't want to miss out.
Yeah. And the show's about over, so I'm hoping.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, we have more sponsors. I didn't realize we have Data Rescue MDs as a sponsor now.
So you're seeing this somewhere other than the website?
No, it's right on the first page.
Right. Oh, I have to scroll. Let me scroll down. Scrolling. Okay. Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll find out about that. And, in the meals.
Are we having more delicious meals?
I was going to say, I don't think you're going to see anywhere, even if it doesn't say delicious, it is going to be delicious. There will be plus plus at every meal this year.
I want you to know that the plus plus was on the itocompass.com schedule when it was first, I guess it was imported. It was there.
Yes.
And I almost called you and said, hey.
we had to tell him to take that down.
So it was going pretty quick, but it was there originally. I saw it.
Yep. And did you see it on my last, did you see it on one of the podcasts?
No.
Yes.
I didn't. I might have. You said it or you?
I know. It's actually in the title.
Oh. I don't look at the titles. I guess I need to pay more attention. I just hit play.
Yep. It is in the title. There is a plus plus on one of the podcasts.
You need to make the boat ride. The boat ride is really going to be a nice event, I think. I mean, I know they're nice. I think with everybody hanging out, and it's going to be a good thing.
Yep, it will be. All right, my friend. Well, we are, of course, we're past our time.
Of course.
But it was good hanging out. And ladies and gentlemen, this will be part of the norm going forward. Matt's schedule has opened up. We will be continuing to do interviews with some of the other vendors and sponsors of the show. We're going to be sprinkling in tips and story time. We'll even entertain some of the WWMD questions that come in. We just didn't want to do that tonight because it was the first opportunity for us to do a full show together. And we will see how things are in the upcoming weeks. Well, Matt, it was good. And next time we'll pre-test before the show to make sure our glitches are taken care of.
Sounds good. And I want to mention that I will be checking my Podnuts mail a little more frequently now, as opposed to never. So if people want to email us, podnutspro. Yes.
You can email the entire show at podnutspro.com, or you can email us individually. My address is marvin@podnuts, and matt@podnuts is his address.
Right. Yeah. matt@podnuts.com or just podnutspro@podnuts.com. And I will be checking my mail a little more often. But
did you find some mail in there that you had not responded to?
Yeah, I hadn't responded to any of it. I assume someone else was.
I don't have your email. I responded to all the show email.
I think that's what was in there. I don't. Just like I tell my clients, don't email me directly. Email the support ticket email address. You really should email podnutspro@podnuts.com. Right.
Yep. Oh. I think we talked about this. The last news update is that the MSP goes broke. Where's the title? MSP goes broke while prosecutors weigh charges of destroying Office 365 data.
Yeah, I think that was the last update, right?
Yeah. Oh, do we know that he was free on $13,555 bail?
Yes, I think we talked about that last time, yeah.
All right. Okay, I'm closing that. All right. Anything else before we end off the show here?
No. Glad to be back. I miss being on the show.
Okay.
Miss hanging out, talking with you, of course.
All right. Well, we will definitely have you back. Now, Just a programming note for everybody, there will be two shows coming out because we had to break a interview into two parts on Firewall as a Service. And I did that interview with somebody from Calyptics. So that will be the next two shows coming out, a part one and a part two on Firewall as a Service. We'll sprinkle some of Matt's stuff in there, and then we will probably be back with a full show in a couple of weeks. And then I've got some other stuff lined up that we're going to have to rearrange scheduling because, you know, the talent is back. So it's kind of like
No, the talent was always there. And no, that's you, sir.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to this episode of Podnuts Pro. On behalf of my good friend, Mr. Matt Rainey, and everyone here at Podnuts, we bid you all a good night, and until next time, holla!